Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Wednesday, December 9th, 2015 edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are live, joined by Paul McGuire, best-selling author, speaker, and so much more.
The Babylon Code.
The Babylon Code. Babylon got it right Code. Here.
Absolutely.
This is latest book, co-authored by Troy Anderson. I'd urge anybody and everybody who has the capability to get this book, do so. And then, if possible, I know we have people who've met each other through our HH connections and whatnot. Share it, you know. If one can buy it, share it, read it, share it, and, you know, keep it going.
Yeah, look, the information in there is just critical, and Paul's been so kind to and generous to share, you know, much of what, at least the essence, the intent, but the detail, boy, the detail is in there. Folks, before we get back to Paul McGuire, I just really want to urge everyone, Christmas, 19 days away, as Joe said. If you do celebrate Christmas and you're a Christian and you do celebrate Christmas, or you exchange gifts or whatever the case might be, I would urge everyone, do you and your wife a favor, or do yourself a favor, or do your wife a favor, or do the family a favor. You know, whatever your sleeping arrangements might be, right? Sleep alone, sleep with your wife. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. Look, here's the deal. Casper Mattress is an online retailer of premium mattresses. Instead of going to the showroom, go to Casper.com. Casper.com/CFP Radio, actually. Go to Casper.com/CFP Radio. And check it out, because you'll know you're in the right place, because it'll say, "Welcome, Hagman, Hagman listeners." But instead of being forced to go to the showroom and lay in a bed in front of all those people and take your shoes off and jump, you don't want to jump on it. You know, no. Trust me when I tell you. Casper Mattress, best out there. And I've tried a lot of them. I got back problems. And, we actually have one in our guest room. We've got one in our bedroom. When I go in at night, if my wife is sleeping, I can go in there, lay down on the bed. She doesn't even know I'm there. The dog can jump. The lady at the studio job can jump on the bed. Not even a bounce over on her side. Now, mattresses, they can cost well over $1,500. I mean, you might have to mortgage your house for a mattress sometimes. And if you've had your mattress a while, I read somewhere, and this was debunked, I guess, but I read somewhere where, you know, your mattress doubles in weight after 10 years because of skin flex and mites and mite gunk or whatever. All that gunky stuff that sloughs off you when you're sleeping, right? And it gets, you know, through the... But anyway...
10 doubles in weight.
Well, again, that was debunked, but you still got to know that having a mattress for a long period of time, aside from it being lumpy and bumpy and yucky, it does collect some nasties. So do yourself a favor this Christmas. Get a new mattress. Convenience, buying a Casper mattress is risk-free. They offer free delivery, free returns, or returns within a 100-day time period. It's that simple. And they have an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It's got just the right sink, just the right bounce.
And to get the deal.
Yes. Get the deal.
You go to Casper Mattress.
No, Casper.com.
Casper.com. /CFP Radio.
Right.
Then from there, when you place your order, you enter the promotional code CFP Radio.
And that gives you $50 off. And, you won't be sorry. In fact, I was talking with somebody who was on the, somebody who was actually part of the sales team for not Casper Mattress, but an advertising agency. And they said, "Is Casper really as good as you say it is?" I said, "Absolutely, man. It's extremely good." And, one of these days I got to get a picture of my studio dog lady when she's sleeping on a Casper mattress, and she will sleep. Now we have one in a I'll just say this: it's the only mattress where she will sleep on her back, four paws up, and snore like the dickens. And she is out, and boy, when she wakes up, she's all full of pep and bounce and all kinds of great stuff. So Casper mattress, it's casper.com/CFP radio. Use our coupon code CFP radio. You won't be sorry. Sorry. Thanks, Paul, for your patience as we went through this. I got to pay some bills, but I got to tell you something, Paul. I am just so excited after I read your article. Well, I don't know if excited is the word. After reading your article titled "Terror and the Puppet Masters: The Babylon Code Countdown," it really intersects and intertwines with your book, The Babylon Code, so well, and it really strikes at the heart of really what we're looking at here in the larger sense. And I think people need to look at the larger picture, the puppet masters behind these people who are in power, in the media, and the people who are taking us down the road to our own FEMA camp, whatever you might want to call that. So I'm going to turn it back to you, sir.
I'm laughing, not because it's funny, but I was thinking about this the other day, if I had a chalkboard and a blackboard and a piece of chalk, I could write out an equation for people to prove with mathematical certainty of 100% that given the present variables going on in our nation, that the inevitable result of what is happening now will lead to imprisonment of Christians in concentration camps in a certain period of time. Now, I'm not saying that to be fatalistic and saying that it has to be that way, but what I am saying is that if the present trends or trajectory continues without an alteration, without an immediate change in strategy, outlook, et cetera, that is what's going to happen. I don't believe that's the will of God, by the way. I believe that the will of God is that there will be a outbreak of a powerful biblical revival, and if the Lord, if we please the Lord, a third great awakening. I don't believe that this will be produced by the majority of the church, but a faithful remnant, because a faithful remnant that are connected with the infinite personal living God of the universe can cause a seismic shift in the change and direction of America. So I am an optimist. I'm not a fatalist, and I don't believe the Bible teaches fatalism. But I have to say the other, because people need to understand that if they don't change their direction and their thinking, they're going to end up in a bad place. Now, I also wanted to mention that I will be speaking at the Hear the Watchman conference in Dallas, Texas, March 18th to 20th. I'll be there, yeah. I believe, speaking one day. I know you guys are there. I'm looking at your picture. And there's a lot of other great speakers, and I have a powerful message to give there, and so do the other speakers. So I will be, people have been asking, I will be speaking at the Hear the Watchman conference in Dallas, Texas, coming up March 18th to 20th.
Cool. That's awesome.
My schedule cleared up, and I really want to be a part of this. The other thing I'd like to mention, 2016, we're already seeing it as we're in the tail end of 2015. 2016 is going to be a year where decisions and directions are made that will establish which direction our nation is going in terms of freedom, in terms of God's willingness and capacity to bless our nation, to restore it to whatever limited degree he chooses to do that, or horrific destruction, because the stakes are very high, and it's going to play out, I believe it's going to play out in 2016. I mean, it's already played out in 2015, 2014, but 2016 is a pivotal year. We're already moving into it, the riots in Chicago that are going on right now. I don't believe these riots are an accident. This is part of a comprehensive plan that is being engineered by covert forces to stir up racial wars and ethnic wars in our nation for the purpose of bringing in totalitarianism and to bring in chaos. And I think that's what's happening in Chicago. I believe there's also again, I support the police force. But there is also an effort, a way to destroy local police on the state and community and county level. So the strategy is to discredit the police and federalize the police. Now, the purpose in federalizing the police is, if people know history, then you have a Gestapo-like army. And again, you don't have checks and balances. It becomes very dangerous. So this is about discrediting the police. The unfortunate thing is there's video and there's evidence and there's documentation of police abuse. And I'm not going to apologize for that. I mean, it's there. So the people who want to accomplish this agenda have something to work with. 2016 is going to be a critical year. And because of that, it doesn't matter what the larger Christian community does. I mean, it does matter to some degree, or the larger evangelical community, or the larger evangelical leadership. What matters is, what is the remnant church going to do? In other words, those believers in Jesus Christ who really love God and are really seeking His face and have a burden for America, the kind of people that listen to your show, the Hagman & Hagman Report, because when I have the regular Paradise Mountain Church meetings that we hold at different hotel conference rooms, or we hold them at, we've been doing it for like since 2008, we have regular meetings. And ever since I've been on your show, people, they jump in airplanes, they come from other states, they come from all over California, and we always have a huge number of people that are from the Hagman & Hagman audience. And it's a blessing, because they're hungry for God, and they're open to God. And
that's just awesome.
Yeah, it is.
We have a great audience, so well-informed and supportive, whether it's, you know, prayers, and they're always they care, and
hopefully
it's our extended family.
I think there's a symbiotic relationship here between Paul, yourself, and others, and us, where I think that there is an establishing, we together collectively might be assisting in the establishment of a remnant for this revival. Because you're right, we can't be fatalistic, and we have to look at the bigger objective. More or less, let's get a revival going as part of the remnant, or die trying.
Yeah, right.
And I'm not trying to be glib about that, because that very well might be the case. But we have to do this, because what's our alternative? Just succumb, acquiesce, and say, oh, everything's cool, and just lay back and, you know, cover up. Get the remote, popcorn, watch it on TV, I don't know.
So. Right. No, I agree. And when we have these meetings and we pray, the people pray wholeheartedly. They really seek God. They really cry out to God. We pray for your protection, both you, both Doug and Joe, and your families, and the show. And we pray for the nation. And God moves. God pours out His Holy Spirit in a very powerful way. And He does miraculous things that it surprises me. But these meetings, are part of this synergy that I think God has put together between myself, you guys, the other speakers, and your program. I mean, nobody planned this. I mean, God just brought it together. And so 2016 is this incredibly crucial year where God's people need to know how to walk with the Lord supernaturally and engage in what I call high-level spiritual warfare. And it's what I've been trying to teach at the meetings, what I've been trying to share on your program, what I always put in the content of the various books. By the way, for the first 10 people who order Mass Awakening tonight, they'll get a free copy of another book that will help them grow in the Lord. So if they order Mass Awakening, they'll get a free copy of, I have to get to the right page, I feel like an idiot here. I've got so many pages of you guys on my on my website I can't find.
I know what it is. You want me to tell you?
Yeah, please.
Okay. You will get Growing Closer to God. Am I right?
Yes.
All right. Susan Ramsey, Growing Closer to God,
we referenced
a daily
special
scripture guide.
The other day, this was what we talked about with the new discounted ticket prices that Hear the Watchmen have. And that book, you can get that book for free with the purchase if you go to hearthewatchmen.com. And you have to put in promo code Hagman, I believe.
It's on Paul McGuire. Go to paulmcguire.us.
Yeah. And what's the promo code for yours, Paul? Is there one? You know?
It'll be on paulmcguire.us. But they should take advantage of it. Susan Ramsey is a great woman of God, and that's a powerful book of scriptures that'll help them on a daily basis, you know, read the Word and understand it, build them up spiritually.
I got mine, and I'll tell you what, I've always wanted to know precisely how to read the Bible in a year in a mathematical type of a linear format, and this book does that. So thank you for that.
Yeah,
Mass Awakening is a good book too.
Yeah, the purpose of Mass Awakening is, and I know you know, Doug, you were kind enough to write the foreword, so you totally get the book. But Mass Awakening is a call and a reminder that in the United States we are going to have an awakening in the United States. It's either going to be a satanic dark awakening like what happened in Nazi Germany or communist Russia, which will be evil and horrific, or it will be a mass awakening produced by the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, which will be like a great awakening. Because the forces that we're entering into are so, it's like turbulent, dangerous waters. And, you know, like a strong man, a fascist figure from the right or left could rise up. Or God's people will fulfill the destiny God has for them and walk in His power and walk in a great awakening and revival. And that's what I mean by mass awakening. But there's practical ways to implement that. I mean, it's not mystical. So that's my concern for 2016, that we enter into this spiritual battlefield, if you will, and we follow the strategy of the Lord, not just our own strategy, but the strategy of the Lord. Well, let me give you just a couple of examples from current events that I believe illustrate why believers in Jesus Christ need to know the truth, not just spiritually and scripturally, but they need to know the truth politically and economically. Let's talk about Ben Carson for a moment. Now, I'm not here to make promote or endorse any particular candidate or tell anybody how to vote left or right. That's not my purpose. But before I vote, and I haven't decided who I'm going to vote for, by the way, before I vote, I do as much research as I can, and then I pray. But I just don't pray, I do research. And I'm very troubled and saddened by Christians who get conned so easily. In other words, you know, George Bush has a prayer for Billy Graham, with Billy Graham, and now they're convinced that George Bush is a Christian, and they vote for George Bush because he had a little prayer with Billy Graham. Well, a lot of candidates had a little prayer with Billy Graham. Sure. And if that's all it takes to convince you that the person is a Christian, then you're kind of like a sucker waiting to be taken. We got a lot of candidates who are pretending or saying they're born-again Christians. They're cultivating the evangelical vote. They're getting big evangelical money. But how many of them are true Christians? So let's take Ben Carson for a moment. I was listening very carefully a couple of weeks ago when Ben Carson was asked a question on foreign policy, and I'm paraphrasing him, but he said something to the effect that I'm going to listen to and go over with my foreign policy plans with the smartest people that I know. And then he said these words, "I spent 2 weeks talking with Henry Kissinger." Well, if Carson is getting his foreign policy from Henry Kissinger, a key leader in the Council on Foreign Relations, a globalist who operates with Rockefeller, Kissinger is a proponent of a one-world government, a one-world economic system, and a one-world religion, the kind of thing we outline in the Babylon Code. If that is Carson's source of information, and if it is, then Carson I don't care how much he says he's a Christian. He can't be a true biblical Christian if he's getting his guidance from an atheistic globalist that wants a one-world government.
Right.
So I was very troubled by Carson said that. But that's not enough information for me to come to a conclusion, because before coming on today's show, I read how Carson, they call it in the article, a love affair with a nut job conspiracy theorist. And it basically talks about how Ben Carson was a big fan of W. Cleon Skousen, who was an anti-communist crusader and a writer who knew all about the communist threat in America and the globalist threat. And supposedly Ben Carson was a big fan of his. So I don't know what to believe, because disinformation is deliberately planted. So I have two contradictory pieces of information. I have the fact that he is a gets information from Henry Kissinger, and then I have another piece of information which says that he's a big philosophical fan of Skousen, who's an anti-communist and an anti-globalist. So one of these stories are false, and I need to know the truth about this man. I can't just take, you know, the fact that he says he's a Christian or he spoke up at a prayer breakfast at face value. And I think Christians need to dig deeper when they evaluate someone. Another case in point would be Ted Cruz. Now, Ted Cruz plays up big time to the evangelical born-again vote, and he's got a huge support in the born-again evangelical community. This vote coming up in South Carolina, the evangelicals are all behind him. Supposedly, Ted Cruz has big evangelical money behind him, and he really plays the evangelical born-again card big time. But when you dig into his life, not what he wants you to think about himself, I read very, very disturbing and troubling things. So, see, just because somebody says they're born again and hallelujah and praise and drops all the buzzwords of being a Christian, it doesn't mean we're supposed to buy it. So Senator Ted Cruz, his wife Heidi Cruz, and this is the key thing to look at. This exposes, or potentially exposes, or at least it should force us to ask very sobering and serious questions about who Ted Cruz really is. Because his wife Heidi Cruz is involved with the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, whether or not she's an officially a member or not is irrelevant. The point is, she's involved in the Council of Foreign Relations, at least as a team member, and she was one of the 31 members assigned to the task force that was called Building a North American Community Report. Which I believe came out in 2010. I quoted it extensively in my book, Are You Ready? And the Building a North American Community report was published by the Council on Foreign Relations. It's a 59-page report. You can read it for free at the CFR website. And basically, it calls for the merger of Canada, Mexico, and the United States. It calls for open borders. It calls for the free flow of migrants, basically from Mexico to the United States, and it calls for turning the U.S. and Mexico and Canada into a regional global government called the North American Union. So Ted Cruz, this great, you know, patriot, this great Christian, has a wife who's a hardcore Council on Foreign Relations global government globalist. Now, you know,
I'll throw one more yeah. thing out there, just for the heck of it, because I think this got us in trouble the first time, I think this got us in trouble in 2007, in the run-up to 2008, that no one, you know, everyone says, it's all horse pucky, you know, it's all just BS. Ted Cruz I don't believe, is eligible to hold the office of the presidency of the United States based on Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution of the United States, which defines natural-born citizen. And I know the arguments in the Supreme Court. I know Vattel. I get all that stuff, folks. But the bottom line here, this is pretty clear-cut in my view. Born in Canada, therefore not qualified or not, yeah. You know, under Article 1, or Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution of the United States. End of story.
For what it's worth, Marco Rubio has been running on a platform for, a new American century, which rings to, the project for a new American century started by Bush and the PNAC people. It seems like that's where he's picking up, and I could be wrong, but that phrase alone is sending alarm bells up my, in my ears when I hear that.
Yep.
Well, me too, because his logo... the New American Century, and of course you're referring to the PNAC, the Project for a New American Century, which was Bush, Cheney, and all the guys that wanted military invasion in the Middle East and in Iraq, and yep. the Project for a New American Century, their Wolfowitz and others, their whole thesis was Pax Americana, and the idea that because America has the military might to do so, that it should act like ancient Rome and dominate militarily the Middle East. And that's the thesis for the PNAC. So if Rubio is connected to that, and I have suspicions that he is, because every time I hear him talk, he's talking about war. He's like a cheerleader for war. I have problems with... He doesn't appear to be independent. He appears to be an instrument of the military-industrial complex. So when you go down this list of candidates and you brush aside the superficial things that they say and really dig into the facts, it's not... Christians have to get beyond, somebody saying God bless you and having an American flag lapel pin and really... really look at what's going on.
There's a big difference between nationalism and what we're seeing. I mean, nationalism really is not the way to go here. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, right. Now, the other thing, which I think is very interesting, and I talked a lot about it, and we talked a lot about it in the Babylon Code. I've been talking about it in various media, and it's in my book, Mass Awakening and a Prophecy of the Future of America. And actually, it goes all the way back to my book, Are You Ready?, which I think was written in 2004. The inside this secret trade treaty, we have all these secret trade treaties, which is against the Constitution, and both the Republicans and the Democrats are in on it. It's always a dirty deal. But in this secret trade treaty, WikiLeaks, by the way, as you guys know, they released the truth. The six corporations which control all the media in the United States, they didn't release diddly squat. They have the six corporations which control all the so-called conservative media superstars and TV and radio, and all these so-called cable news channels and news outlets, and all these blowhard fake pseudo-conservative pontificators. I mean, I know some of these guys. I used to debate them on Fox News Network, and they're frauds, man. They are part of the system. Their job is to cover everything up. I'm not going to name names, but I could name the names of, right off the top of my head, seven so-called conservative radio talk shows. So they're completely fraudulent. They're not conservative at all. They are mouthpiece for the establishment. It took WikiLeaks to break the truth on this, and what WikiLeaks published was that the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP deal, or the TPA, Trade Promotion Authority deal, has chapters in it, such as the President's Trade in Services Act, TISA, where there's secret language in the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership deals. There's secret language which promotes immigration and migration with just letting people in from many countries, including militant Islamic countries, with a rubber stamp. No background checks whatsoever, or at least superficial ones, or little sneaky little rules like we can't check on your background for more than 30 days. See, this is all being hidden by the media. All the media is hiding this. That means the so-called conservative media. They're hiding. They're lying to the American people because under these trade treaties, they intend to allow everybody in this nation, and they don't give, excuse the word, damn, but they don't give a damn about the employment of American workers. This is all about globalism.
Absolutely, and so, amen, brother.
You know, it's time to grow up and quit buying the propaganda. And just because the guy's got an expensive suit and smiles, and I'm on the verge of naming this one guy, but I'm not going to name him. But yeah, this guy I call him the bus driver, because he's a combination of a bus driver and the captain of a choo-choo train that goes in a circle. And his whole show consists of rah-rah America, you know, republicanism, and rah-rah-rah-rah, and where's the American flag? And it's a complete three-ring circus. He is a instrument and mouthpiece of the establishment. And, he there's going to be no changes whatsoever. So we're entering in this realm. And so these secret trade treaties is what they did in the European Union. Yep. And they are overturning the Constitution. And they are hijacking our nation. And what they've done is they've done an end run around the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and they have secretly surrendered our rights under the auspices of UN control and UN law. So our freedoms and our sovereignty as an independent nation is being stolen from us, and we better wake up. And that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah,
and that's the bigger picture.
Another thing they've done with the TPP is the corporations of the world are considered people.
Right.
And they are giving these entities the ability to make and change laws based on what they like and don't like. And they're putting each and every one of us as a person, and a corporation in America is considered a person. And they're giving these corporations the ability to change policies, change the way things work, yet people like us, we have no ability to do that. But these corporations who are going to be...
You know what? Let me back up. Joe, you're correct, and Paul, you're correct, but let me back up here a second. And folks, understand this. Paul McGuire is not saying this. Doug Hagman is saying this. All fingers, accusations point to Doug Hagman.
Okay,
so it's me. Only me. Period. Not Global Star, not Paul, not Joe, but Doug Hagman. I have an issue with people like Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, who treat what we're going through right now as this circus, as you call, not using your words with these people, bus driver, train, you know, the train goes in a circle. And it's all theatrics. It's all entertainment. It's all us v. them, or Democrats versus Republicans, without getting into the issues you raise, such as the trade in services agreement. When of substance have these individuals talked in depth about these very plots, plans, schemes, machinations of the globalists? They haven't.
And they mention
why? Well, they mention
them. Vaguely explain certain provisions, but not...
It's like foul balls out of the park, you know? I mean, but really, in depth, to explain what's going on, the 23 parties involved in TISA and the Trade and Services Agreement, TPA,
Trade Promotion Authority,
and so on and so on and so on. You know,
I mean, the
so.
Republicans were for this in general. The Democrats were the ones that were voting against this when it was in session and when it was up for votes. So as it passed, you can't really see Fox News having their commentators go against their the base of their the candidates they have in office. That's one thing. And, you know, this whole, it is an instrument towards internationalism under UN law and globalization. of our society. They're merging everything, our economies, our business institutions, and they want exactly what they wanted in the beginning, a universal system, void of God.
Yeah, and Paul's book, Babylon Code, does a great job of outlining this because, you know, he writes about really the three Babylons. I don't think I'm giving anything away here, Paul, but from Genesis to Revelation, talking about the three Babylons, Nimrod's Babylon, the empire of King Nebuchadnezzar, the that Babylon, and then, of course, the mystery Babylon,
and
here we
are.
You know, I mean, here we are. So you, Paul McGuire, and this is why I just absolutely love talking with Paul, is he gets down to really the bigger picture, not this cheerleading rah-rah Democrats versus Republicans, right versus left crap that we're you know, forced down our throats. Sorry, Paul. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, we are. It is. It's like they treat it like a football game. You know, some of the talk show hosts you mentioned, and I will mention Rush Limbaugh because. For this reason, Rush Limbaugh, when he was confronted with certain what were called conspiracy theories, which weren't conspiracy theories, they were conspiracy realities, such as the push towards global government and the Council on Foreign Relations, he mocked it as, you know, meaningless conspiracy theories. Well, that's completely fraudulent. He is a mouthpiece for the GOP establishment. He's in the club. He's not who he says he is. He's a propagandist. And you strip behind the cigar and the pompous statements, he's just an instrument designed to conceal people from the real truth. And that's the mm-hmm. you know, that's what's going on, a dog and pony show in most of the in most of the media.
Exactly.
You know, as we go into 2016, we have, it's like there's two primary areas of a spiritual battlefield. There's the practical, logistical, economic, political, societal, economic battlefield, if you will. And then there's the spiritual battlefield. And they both work together. You can't cleave them in half. And so we have this information. And Schmidt, the head of Google, wants to get rid of all hate speech on the Internet. Well, that should be a huge alarm bell, because when he says he's going to get rid of all hate speech on the Internet, let me break it down, those words in code for you. That means anything that's not politically correct will be censored. So it starts off by, like, saying, well, you know, Muslims threatening jihad, we're going to call that hate speech and get rid of it. But the following week, it'll be anybody who criticizes Muslims, they'll be censored. Then it will go anybody criticizing Planned Parenthood, that will be hate speech. So before you know it, because Schmidt is part of the Bilderberg Group, he will vacuum the Internet of all criticism or critique from the official approved globalist, liberal, humanistic group mind, hive mind, world brain. And anybody who says, for example, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but through me, that will be hate speech. So when he says that, that's very dangerous. What he's threatening to do is censor the Internet. And we need to be very careful about that. So we have that going on, the practical battlefield, but then we have a psychological, spiritual battlefield that mm-hmm. we're engaged in. And one thing I wrote at paulmcguire.us today, and I'm deeply concerned about it, and it says, the Spirit of God always defeats the spirit of terror. And I was thinking about this yesterday as I was writing, and the Lord brought to my mind that the spirit of terror, or the spirit of terrorism, is more than a psychological state of mind. There is an actual demonic spirit behind the spirit of terror or terrorism. There's a psychological component, And there's a psychological warfare component, but there's also a demonic component. The same with the spirit of fear. There's a psychological component to it, and then there's a demonic component. That's why when God says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind," notice that God says, He has not given us a spirit of fear. What God is saying in His Word is that fear is a spirit, which simply means it's a demonic spirit. There's demonic forces that produce fear. It's more than a psychological mechanism. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Also, we read in the Word of God that God has renewed us in the spirit of our minds. Now, when God says He has renewed us in the spirit of our minds, God is giving us an understanding of the way our body, soul, and spirit integrates. So the spirit is the spiritual center of a man or a woman. The soul is the memories, the minds, and the emotions. And the body, of course, is the physical part. But when people need their minds renewed, it's not just an intellectual renewal. That's part of it. But the mind is like software driven by an energy force, which the Lord calls the spirit of our minds. So our minds ultimately are controlled by a spirit, the Holy Spirit or a human spirit. And it's a demonic spirit that's behind terror. So when you see, you look throughout human history, and you see every dictatorship, police state, authoritarian regime, we name some, Hitler, Communist China, Communist Russia, ISIS, any cult, they have commonalities. In Russia, or the Soviet Union, everybody was ruled by fear. They were terrified that their neighbors would rat on them, that the government was looking over their shoulder. They walked in a state of terror and a state of fear. Now, that was not just psychological. In 1 John, it talks about the spirit of Antichrist. It's not the Antichrist, capital A. The spirit of Antichrist can infiltrate a nation. That is a demonic spirit of rebellion against everything that is of God, sexually, on every level. It's an Antichrist spirit, and it seeks to destroy everything that's godly in a society. When a nation like America opens its red carpet up to the spirit of Antichrist, which we've done collectively in America, we have allowed, what that does is it drives out the Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of truth. Now, people really, really need to get a hold of what I'm saying. They need to embrace it, not just intellectually assimilate it, not just entertain it in their minds. They need to grab it, own it, and let it come alive in their spirits. When a nation, through the collective will of the people and what the educational system is doing by banning all references to God and promoting immorality and everything opposite of God, which is what our mass media is doing, which is what our government is doing. When wickedness, when perversion, when things that are not Christian are promoted and everything that is godly or biblical or pure is attacked, what we've done is we've allowed the spirit of Antichrist to come into a nation, and what that does, and it even happens in the church, what it does is it drives out the Holy Spirit. So collectively, we as Americans, and we as American Christians, collectively in the vast majority of our churches, in probably over 70%, I'm being generous, in probably over 70% of the churches in America, the Holy Spirit has been driven out, which is the spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit has been driven out of marriages. Yep. It's been driven out of families. It's been driven out of the media. It's like there's a massive abortion being performed. There's no positive references to God. You can't even say Christmas. You can't relate Thanksgiving to thanking God. You can't talk about Easter in terms of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's all been aborted out of the media and society. You can't have a Christmas tree, you know, in a public square anymore. So,
or a nativity scene. Yeah.
No nativity scene.
Paul, I don't know if you saw this, but this is right on the right in line with exactly what you're talking about. 103-year-old woman banned from church. This was out of Elberton, Georgia. And this lady's 103 years old. She's been going there 92 years. And she was told that she's never allowed to come back because she challenged the preacher who was changing the way that the church was teaching and giving their sermons to more of a feel-good type church. And she wanted the, you know, the Bible. She wanted the Bible preached regardless of what, you know, if it spoke of hellfire or of the love of Jesus. But I guess, you know, they had a disagreement, and this pastor, Reverend Timothy Maddox, wanted her banned because she spoke up and told him about the things that she didn't like about his teachings. And they sent her a letter, and the letter said to inform you, you know, blah, 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 by the board in the church. Therefore, you're banned from the church, and your membership is officially revoked. You can not attend our church for any reason whatsoever.
You know what, Paul? People ask us, why are we so hard on the Christian churches here in America? Why? Why not go after ISIS? We damn well know ISIS, what they are. It's a demonic entity. It's demonically influenced. But too many people are getting snared into this, this prosperity gospel. And being brainwashed from within the churches. So this is why we're so glad you're speaking on this. Go ahead, sir.
Well, yes, and people, those that would criticize you need to understand that when you raise your voice, speaking the truth in love, which is what you're doing, your motivation is concern because Jesus spent a great deal of time, so did the Apostle Paul, of confronting and challenging the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the fake religious establishment of their time, and Jesus whipped out and turned over the money changers in the temple that had turned the true religion into a commercial center, and who was it that crucified Christ? The religious leaders. And the Apostle Paul and Jesus also spent a great deal of time in their teaching confronting false prophets, false teachers, and hirelings. And in fact, there are numerous scriptures that are devoted to the teaching about false pastors, false shepherds, who are unfaithful leaders of the flock of God, and because they're unfaithful, God calls them hirelings. In other words, they're only in it for the money, and when persecution or trouble arises, they will flee. So that reflects the heart of God, because what is the heart of God? Jesus is the good shepherd, and so as the good shepherd, he seeks to drive away the wolves, which represents the demonic entities, from destroying his people. So confrontation with false prophets, etc., is something that the Bible teaches us to do. And that's the center of the spiritual battlefield. If we're in the greatest spiritual war that America has ever been in, which we are, and we have an impotent church and a spiritually weak church, we have to say, okay, why is the church in America impotent and weak and unable to resist evil? And why is it the church and the evangelical leadership in America, with notable exceptions, but why is it impotent and in a state of paralysis when dealing with evil? And why is evil growing more powerful and more powerful? And why are the forces of darkness taking over more and more and more territory in our nation? It's because the leadership in the household of God is compromised, and the truth of God's word is being censored and not taught. A diluted, impotent gospel that is powerless is being taught. That's a counterfeit gospel. So instead of having the sword of the Spirit in a spiritual battle, and the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, you have a bottle of sugary water that you're dispensing, which is a counterfeit gospel, because instead of speaking the truth, which is that Jesus, you know, died and resurrected, and there's a heaven and a hell, and Christ is returning, and you need to repent from your sins, instead of preaching the truth of God's Word, you are simply giving a modified Tony Robbins motivational message that does not have the spiritual power in it to drive back the demonic forces which are seeking to destroy our nation. And so when we have men and women who are in places of leadership, and the average Christian, that they are not filled with the Holy Spirit, they're not renewed with the Word of God, they're impotent. It's like a car with no gas in it. It can't drive anything. So you've got to have, there has to be repentance, and that's what all these meetings I hold with Paradise Mountain Church are about. There has to be repentance. There has to be an acknowledgement by us before God, where we say, God, we are guilty before you of compromise, of accommodating the gospel, of surrendering your truth, of not teaching your truth. We, God, are responsible for the disaster that has befallen America. And we got to get real and admit that we are the cause of the destruction. And what is the focal point of the cause of destruction is we've turned from the Word of God. So we have to repent, we have to admit it, we have to ask for God's forgiveness, and then we have to pledge before the Lord that we will return to the Word of God and we will proclaim the Word of God. When we do that, we line up properly in the right relationship with God, and then and only then can He release His supernatural power, His dunamis power from on high, and then the church becomes supercharged with the power of the Holy Spirit. And instead of millions of weak, impotent, confused, imbecilic, and I don't mean that as insulting, but when you refuse to renew your mind with the Word of God, you no longer have the mind of Christ. And when you no longer have the mind of Christ, you essentially become an imbecile. Now, if people have a problem with my language, remember that the Word of God says, the fool in his heart says there's no God. So if you're saying there's no God, even in the practicalities of life, the Bible says you're a fool. So if I call you an imbecile for rejecting biblical truth, you can't get angry at me, because I'm simply repeating what God says in the book of Proverbs when He said, the fool in his heart says there is no God. I'm just modernizing it and saying, when you reject God's Word, you become an imbecile. And God did not create His people to be imbeciles, weak or paralyzed, in the face of the greatest spiritual battle in our nation since its beginning. God's people are to be the armies of God. We're not talking about jihad. We're not talking about nuts with guns, with a murder in their eyes. We are to be the loving, filled with the Spirit, law-abiding, praying armies of God. Because when Christ returns, which He will from heaven, He's going to return at the second coming with the armies of heaven. Well, who are the armies of heaven? That's
Hold
you.
That thought,
That's
Paul.
Me. Yes.
We are up against the break.
And before you, Joe, sorry for interrupting again, but we got to isolate that sound clip of Paul for the last couple of minutes there and really replay that over our...
The first church fathers, if you read in Galatians, it says, Galatians 1:6, I marvel at you are so soon removed from him that called you under grace of Christ unto another gospel. Imagine how much further away from the true gospel we are in this day and age. Folks, we're going to be right back with our third and final hour with Paul McGuire here on Global Star Radio Network. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.